Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis-St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. With the House expected to vote on two articles of impeachment against President Trump next week, which would then push the matter to the Senate for trial after the new year, a Democrat member of the House Judiciary Committee is calling on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to recuse himself from any future proceedings.
Democrat Val Demings of Florida on Friday called on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to recuse himself from the Senate impeachment trial, citing the GOP leader's remarks the previous night about coordinating with the White House. McConnell said during an interview on Fox News Thursday night, "Everything I do, I'm coordinating with the White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this to the extent that we can." Demings accused the GOP leader of promising to sabotage the trial. Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
Senator McConnell's office did not react to those comments. This is SRN News.
Eric Metaxas doesn't think it's healthy to generalize.
Because I take Me Too very seriously, but at the same time, I think we have to think it through. It's very easy to throw everybody under the same bus. I think, you know what? No. There are big differences between what some people have done and what other people have done.
And we're going to have to
at least figure our way through that, to be fair.
The Eric Metaxas Show, overnights at 3 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Intelligent Radio. Here's your Great Plains Windows and Doors forecast for the rest of the day. Decreasing clouds, a high of 17. Tonight, it's going to get chilly, a low of negative 7. There are only 11 days until Christmas. Are you still on the naughty list from last year's Christmas gift? Make this year one to remember with a special gift from Wixon Jewelers in Bloomington. Open extended hours every day until Christmas. Hour 2 of the Northern Alliance Radio Network headliner Mitch Berg is coming up next.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities.
It's great to be back in Minnesota today.
Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Berg.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and world. It's the wind beneath the right wing. The bright, shining spot of red in the sea of dismal, dingy, institutional blue, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. My name is Mitch Berg. My blog is shotinthedark.info. My program, the headliner edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network, just a couple months shy of our 16th anniversary on the air. Still dominating Twin Cities weekend radio like a tank going over barbed wire. That went dark. I just want to cut back to it right here.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of World War I movies lately here.
Okay.
You see, and the voice you hear, by the way, across the aisle from me, King Banyan from the King Banyan Radio Show every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on our sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman.
Good afternoon.
That's right. Great to have you here. Ed Morrissey from Hot Air and the Ed Morrissey Show of podcasting. Ed.
Howdy.
Longtime co-host. Brad Carlson, the newbie, after 8 years, finally earning his seat on these cultural assassination shows.
It is an honor. Having too much fun, Mitch Berg. Too much fun.
Excellent. And by the way, these are the shows that everyone says. These are my favorite shows of the year, which does my ego fine, but that's fine. In fact, even our producer said, yeah, this may be a podcast I actually listen to here.
Wow.
High praise. Yeah. Producer has not yet gotten a nickname from this broadcast here, and with lines like that, since the initial of his first name is E, is a strong candidate for E-raced as his show nickname.
Wow.
There you go. Kidding.
The Bison hung on, Mitch, 9-3. Yes.
Hung on. They dominated. They prevailed. They're on their way to Frisco.
That's the bottom line. Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Illinois State was tough. We knew that was going to be a tough one here, and yet they prevailed. 9-3. It was a one-touchdown game throughout, and yet the Bison showed the strength of their character. Anyway.
So why are we all here?
We're all here because we are going through all the worst sitcoms of the 1980s. And if you have any commentary of your own, join us on Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's N-A-R-N Show. Operators are standing by. I am the operator. I'm standing by. I only have to do one quarter of the show today, so I've got time to do a little social media clowning around here as Brad King and Ed join me here, as we do about roughly once a year, and we'll have to plan the next one here shortly because these are always a blast, an awful lot of fun. So up next, we're up to our number twos. We're through our first round. We're actually a little more relaxed than our normal show. We only have eight to get through in an hour this time. Usually we do 1 hour and nine things to hit. So this is actually going to be kind of fun. Get to stretch out a little bit. Do a jam. This is like going to a Fish concert instead of Ramones concert. I may have just eaten up all the time we gained. But
I was going to say, you vamped away all advantages we had.
It's one of those prerogatives you have. No. We got plenty of time here, and we're going to need it because the backstory to this one.
So, when we last spoke, we were talking about Joni Loves Chachi, which was Mitch's number three show.
Yep.
Ran in 1983, 84. Started out great, ended up in the toilet.
Except for the start out great. Oh, that's ratings.
The ratings. So started out great, ended up really bad, and so they cut it after a year. But they had Scott Baio under contract, they had to, in fact, let him do another show. So they rolled out our number two show, Charles in Charge.
I can actually sing along with this.
In the neighborhood, lives down the street, and it's understood.
So Scott Baio in this show becomes a college student. He's a college student that ends up getting a gig as a live-in nanny for three younger kids, including an eighth grade girl, which is awkward as heck.
Oh yeah.
And has a friend played by Willie Ames who shows up in The Bible Man. Do you remember The Bible Man?
I do remember Bible Man.
Okay.
Yes.
Breastplate
of righteousness.
Yes.
Firmly secured.
Yes. So this show comes on. So here's the story and why I wanted this one on. This happens to several of the shows in our list. This lasted a season. They tried to move this show. You can bring that down, please. they go ahead and play. They go ahead and try to move it off of the night they were running it. I forget who they were running it against. They were running it against...
It was on CBS
the
initially.
The Fall Guy and Highway to Heaven. So it tanks on that night. They move it to Saturday night, which is usually the place where shows go to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Okay.
But because this was the period in which there was all these independent stations that needed content, NBC Universal buys this show and spends 2 years developing it again. They roll it back out, and when they roll it back out, it's the same set, but they've lost all the original actors except for Scott Baio and Willie Ames, so it's a new family in the syndicated show.
They did explain that. Charles was away on a trip in the mountains. They couldn't get a hold of him. And while he was there, the old family sold the house, and the new family came in and said, yeah, we'll keep this nanny guy around.
Perfectly plausible.
We've never met him, but we'll keep him around our three kids, including two teenage blonde girls. Sure, why not? That'll work.
Yeah, it's the most awkward thing with, there's no words. I have no words for this.
It's a reverse We Got It Made.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Sorry.
So any truth to the rumor that one of the members of the original family was Jeremy Gelblacks?
I get that reference, the original
drummer from the Partridge Family disappeared without a trace, was replaced with a completely blonde kid after season one.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, there's a 70s TV reference.
Well, what's interesting is Charles, you never knew his last name in this TV show. He just went by Charles, and the rumor was because the actress who played his mother, Ellen Travolta, played his mother in this show, as she did in Happy Days and Joni Loves Chachi. So the rumor was this was an extension of Joni Loves Chachi. Chachi, Charles, because he can only answer to Charles, apparently. That's right. So that was a rumor. It seems kind of silly because Charles in Charge was set in the 80s and Joni Loves Chachi, what, in the 60s? That seems implausible.
Right. So in the syndicated version, the mom shows up.
Yeah, right.
I forget who plays her, but
Ellen Travolta was the actress who played Charles.
Really?
Mom. Yes.
Okay.
So,
that's fascinating.
As in Happy Days.
Oh wow.
So there you have it.
I know none of this. I feel like one of those kids who grew up in a house who comes to the big city and encounters TV.
By the way, you've upped your game here, Brad, and you're completely redeemed for a lot of these earlier mistakes that you played in the first hour.
That's right.
What mistakes were those?
Well, you're going to get a chance to blow that recovery big time up next year because it's your turn now, Brad Carlson.
So I'm going with a series. This is my second worst sitcom of the 1980s. It initially was on the air, I believe, on NBC, and to follow this theme, it didn't do well, and so they took a couple of years to develop it, apparently. And it's like when it came back 3 years later in syndication, it's like, you took 3 years to come up with that? So this is a show entitled We Got It Made. It's a story. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
A classic 80s sitcom opening where someone does these awkward dance moves and all of a sudden they freeze. Terry Copley. Da, da, da. Matt McCoy.
Ed's
dancing. Tom Ballard. Yeah, exactly.
Ed is dancing in freezing action here. This is, I wish I had a camera rolling. I honestly do.
I mean, just the theme song alone.
This is it's
it needs to be on the list.
I was working in broadcasting at the time, and I remember there's an article coming out about that time saying people didn't care for jingles at sitcoms, and this is like the end of the long, drawn-out opening. You remember shows in the 70s, you could spend 2 minutes watching the opening and the opening credits and everything, and then eventually get to the show.
I think Maude was about 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, the Rockford Files. Yeah. The Rockford Files. Back when
that was a great theme song.
It was a great theme song. It was a hit, top 40 hit. And then in the 80s, you had a lot of the theme songs like we're hearing here. And eventually, that's why you have almost no opening on TV shows anymore, because people got burned out and bored by sitting through these things. Anyway,
Jerry Seinfeld was one who actually killed that.
Oh, really?
The Seinfeld show, was the first one that just really... Right. The cold opens and just had a little guitar riff, and that was it.
It's true. And that was part of a consultant was behind that. Anyway, so the
premise of this show, yes. It's two Manhattan bachelors, neat freak attorney David Tucker and unkempt salesman Jay Bostwick.
Oh, wait.
They decide to hire a hot blonde to be their maid, even though she has no experience as a maid. I have no idea why they would hire her if she has no experience. Oh, never mind. I'm looking at a picture of her now. Okay, so it's basically like if the Odd Couple hired a hot blonde maid. That's what this is, basically the premise of the show. And it lasted one season on NBC, and pretty much every show was because each of these guys had girlfriends. And each of these, every show, it was like the girlfriend was trying to turn her boyfriend's head away from watching the hot maid vacuum in a short T-shirt and short shorts. That was basically every plot of every episode. And so, Matt McCoy was the neat freak attorney. He was also the husband in Hand That Robs a Cradle, if you remember. The Hand That Rocks a Cradle.
Oh, right. Good movie, too.
So his girlfriend was played by Stephanie Kramer, who starred in Hunter. You remember Hunter, the Fred Dreyer detective series?
Yeah.
Stephanie Kramer. That got Mitch's attention over there.
Hello.
Yeah. So she was the girlfriend of the attorney neat freak. So it lasted one season on NBC, didn't go anywhere. So they said, let's bring it back in syndication 3 years later. Matt McCoy apparently wasn't available, so we'll bring back a different actor to play his character. And Tom Villar, the unkempt salesman, came back. His girlfriend was gone, but it wasn't explained why she was gone. And surprisingly, the reboot didn't make it for whatever reason. So it technically lasted 2 seasons, the second one in syndication, and it bombed out. I guess they figured... Back in the 80s, that was a really big genre for hot blondes. You had Heather Thomas in The Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Markie Post in Night Court. She was on Fall Guy, too, once a while.
That's right. And that was after Ellen Foley, who, of course.
Right. Yeah. Heather Locklear was in Dynasty.
I'm still focusing on Ellen Foley, but that's right.
Yeah. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
That's
she was backup vocals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sure.
We're getting in all sorts of different genres and pop culture
things. By the way, since you're not the only one who can sub reference here, Brad, she was the person about which the class. Wrote, should I stay or should I go?
I did not know this.
Mick Jones was dating Ellen Foley and kind of having this moment where he thought, should I, well, stay or should I go? Ellen Foley, of course, one of my favorite unknown singers of the late 70s, early 80s. But anyway, carry on, Brad.
So my second worst sitcom of the 1980s, Terry Copley, Tom Villard, and for the first season, Matt McCoy in We Got It Made. So there you have it.
It's interesting. I mean, hearing these theme songs, first of all, as you have all pointed out, these are all going to be earworms for the rest of the day.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of interesting. It's like it's in the 80s, a time of immense musical creativity. You have these '60s theme songs that really all sound exactly like 1970s theme songs. It's, or in the case of, what was this last one here? It sounded like we were going back to the 1960s or 1950s, perhaps. It's like I could see some room full of Tin Pan Alley crooners banging out a theme song that takes them back to, I don't know, having something they wrote for Paul Anka back in 1960.
Yeah, but you know, if you watch television enough, and you shouldn't, but if you watch television enough, you notice...
Too much to be healthy,
yeah. You notice that the theme songs are all musical genres that were predated by 15 or 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're catching up. So in the 80s, you're talking about musical genres in the mid-60s. In the 70s, it was musical genres of the 50s. When you're doing, what was that one with the... Father Knows Best. I mean, that's like right out of like 1920s, early 1930s big band music. I mean, just because they want to make it comfortable for you.
Now, we've had
that wasn't too comfortable, by the way.
That's right. We've had it. We Got It Made is famous for a number of B-list stars who became more notable, more famous for other things later. When we come back from our break, we've got a couple that are quite the opposite, let's just say. Shows where careers went to die. I'm not giving away too much, but by the way, join us on Twitter, hashtag Narn Show, Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is a third-generation Minnesota family-owned company. This winter, the Standard family would like to give your family all the comfort and joy that comes with a new high-efficiency furnace for as little as $59 a month. Standard's Winter Savings Sale makes it easy to upgrade your old and unreliable furnace. With payments as low as $59 a month, you'll have plenty of extra spending money for the holidays. Not to mention the money you could be saving on your heating bills. Nearly 500,000 customers have trusted their family's comfort to Standard Heating since 1930. Check out their uncensored online reviews to see why so many of your neighbors put Standard on their good list. The Standard Winter Savings Sale. Learn more about how you can get a new high-efficiency furnace for as little as $59 a month at standardheating.com/patriot. That's standardheating.com/patriot. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network.
I didn't know King was a Bobby Brown fan. Look at those moves over there. Wow.
But my memory of Bobby Brown is my at-the-time wife going into labor with my oldest outside the KDWB Star Park. Can I say that? Yeah, I don't work there anymore. right after seeing Bobby Brown, actually, out on First Avenue.
Uh-huh.
So that's, yeah, my soft spot in my heart for Bobby Brown, Belle Biv DeVoe, and Tony, for those of you who want a little blast from the past. Northern Alliance Radio Network, Mitch Berg, Ed Morrissey, Brad Carlson, King Banyan, going over the worst sitcoms of the 1980s. And we just spent a little time talking about a few sitcoms that were launching pads for people who want to do much, much, much bigger and better things. Now we're going to go through a couple that are kind of the exact opposite. Three in a row, in fact, yes. Where careers went to inadvertent. We didn't know this was going to happen, but three in a row where careers went to die. And with the first, Ed Morrissey.
Well, if you want to have success in TV sitcoms, you want to surround yourself with proven talent,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera. You want big names, somebody that is really going to attract an immediate audience,
yep.
And you want to have the right moment for putting this all together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you get? You get Aaron Spelling producing a sitcom for Lucille Ball.
Oh, that's a license to print money, as far as I'm concerned.
In 1986, oh, yeah, which gave us Life with Lucy.
I've heard legends of this one.
With a theme song right out of the 1940s, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sort of like Lucille Ball herself.
Exactly.
Like, remember, like I said, the genre is always like 15 years behind the musical genres. This is like 40 years behind.
At a time when retro was not hip, by the way.
Not hip at all. Life with Lucy debuted in 1986 and lasted through 1986.
I sense a theme here.
Now, right. I remember this because it was a huge deal that Lucille Ball was coming back to comic television. She had just done the Stone Pillows thing, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
A great dramatic role.
Yes, it was.
On television. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to bring her back to do another comedy. So the setup on this is that Lucy Barker is a grandmother living with her daughter's family while constantly getting into comic predicaments.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's actually not a bad structure. For
It worked for her twice.
That type of structure did work for her in the past. In the past.
The 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
I sat down to watch this, and I was absolutely horrified throughout the whole thing. It was one pratfall after another, done for no particular reason. It was just this, no structure to it whatsoever. And I thought at the time, how did this go so wrong? How did they get this so badly? And I did a little research on this. And part of the reason was that Lucille Ball insisted on complete creative control.
Oh.
Didn't want to do a pilot. Didn't want to do any testing, any audience testing whatsoever. Just wanted to roll right onto television to do this. She got Gail Gordon to come out of retirement to do this.
My. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten. He was a part of that. He was part of the cast. And so it was so bad that Aaron Spelling quit doing sitcoms after this.
Wow.
Aaron Spelling said,
she broke him.
Aaron Spelling said, if you can't succeed at doing a sitcom with Lucille Ball, then you shouldn't be doing sitcoms at all.
Oh,
and
man.
Refused to do any more sitcoms for the rest of his career.
Oh,
that was the end for Aaron Spelling. It was really, really bad. And it was unfortunate, too, because Lucille Ball basically felt like she was completely rejected. And that's a tough thing to go through at the end of your career, you know, especially one that was. But it was just bad. The whole thing was bad. There was nothing good about this, including Lucille Ball. There's a story, if you go to the IMDb website, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's a story there where Aaron Spelling said he knew that the show was in trouble. She did a pratfall, a planned pratfall. And the audience didn't laugh. They gasped because they thought that, you know, the 80 or so year old Lucille Ball had gotten hurt.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, maybe this wasn't the comic vehicle for an 80 year old Lucille Ball. Just saying. It was so badly conceived, so badly executed that I'm not sure that anybody really had a career after this. It was in this.
No, other than Aaron Spelling himself, who did go on to other things.
He did. He went on to dramas.
He salvaged a career.
Yeah, Beverly Hills 90210, I think, was after that, right? So, I mean, he went on to do other things, but he was also the guy behind Love Boat, too, right?
Oh, that's true.
And so, yeah, that was the last sitcom that Aaron Spelling ever did.
I never saw the show, but I remember I was working on a local talk show on the Evil Talk Empire at the time it came out, and I just it was one of those things, sort of like Manimal. being a running gag on David Letterman for years. Life with Lucy was sort of a running gag among people who like to wag about the media. So who greenlit this? Who thought this was a good idea? Just remembering the conflagration, the catastrophe, the collapse of all the careers that disappeared completely as a result of this show. And it was kind of tragic because, of course, Lucille Ball, one of the great pioneers of TV comedy,
a giant in this industry,
and
pioneer.
So,
yeah,
and so it was the sound of a career ending with not with a whimper but with a bang, as opposed to my number two, which was the sound of multiple whimpers cascading on top of each other. My show was sort of like my number three, Joni Loves Chachi. And my number one, which has yet to be heard, it was a spinoff from a show. In this case, a spinoff from a show about which one might have expected better. But again, they spun off the parts nobody cared about. I'm talking about a show that, by the way, I will take my unpopular stance here in just a moment. I'm going to play the theme first. And if it sounds familiar, it is familiar, but somewhat perverted out of its original form. Ring a bell?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's the theme. It's a cover.
Suicide is Painless is
that's
the name
right.
of the song.
That's right. That's the name of the song. It was, of course, well known as one of the most popular theme songs in TV history, a theme from MASH. Except, of course, it's a highly stylized version, a cover, if you will.
It sounds slightly distorted, too.
Well, it's coming off of YouTube. I think somebody shot it off a TV with a cell phone cam.
Okay.
Which I don't know why when someone would have had a cell phone cam in 1984.
I don't
know either. Why would anyone do this show? Now, for starters, you have a spinoff from MASH, one of the great TV shows of all time. Nominally a sitcom. I mean, the situation was, in theory, Korea. It was really about Vietnam, but it was like the movie itself was about Vietnam, but they set it in Korea to give it some distance, blah, blah, blah. And it was a landmark show. Okay, my unpopular opinion, for its first five seasons. And then Larry Gelbart, it coincided with the time Gary Berghoff left the show after season five.
Right.
It was about a year after McLean Stevenson's rather ill-advised departure from the show, of which more in a moment here. But after that changeover in writers that happened about the time, writers and showrunners and other people in the back room, the show turned from really a show with excellent narrative, some brilliant writing, some brilliant acting, some great scenarios that actually made you care about what was going on, to this endless series of fairly smug little one-liners that carried on for another five seasons, and of course leading to one of the biggest letdowns of a show finale of all time. So that's fine.
Until Lost.
That's true. Or Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But anyway, but there was more to be had, we were told, and so it was a spinoff of MASH featuring two and a half characters from MASH that you really didn't care about all that much. I mean, God bless them all. Jamie Farr, Corporal Klinger, the guy who spent 11 years trying to get an insanity discharge from the Army by dressing in a dress, who basically spent the last 5 years of the show doing one Lebanese sitcom joke after another. I mean, you thought it might have been from, I don't know, Three's Company by the time we were done with the show.
Right.
Father Mulcahy, who was the bittiest of the bit players in the original MASH series.
Jocularity.
It's one big lie. That's right. And nobody remembers anything about William Christopher's Father Mulcahy except jocularity, which is brilliant, by the way, in its time, but it's a thin thread to build an entire show on. And, of course, Harry Morgan, basically reprising his role as the guy in charge of the hospital. He's no longer a colonel. He's a hospital administrator now. And if it seems to lack a lot of the zip of MASH, you're right.
So let me understand this, right? This is in the 80s, where now there have been all these TV shows based on hospitals.
Yes.
Right? And you decide to do a show where the central character is the hospital administrator.
Well,
all the other ones seem to include either DR or MD in their title.
Oh, yeah.
But
John MD, which was another spinoff of
MASH.
Yes,
that's
true.
It went like five, six seasons. Actually,
right,
it was very
Trapper
successful.
John MD
actually didn't suck.
Right.
It did not.
Not bad.
I liked it.
Yeah. It had its moments, yeah. Whereas after MASH, for some reason, they focused. I mean, okay, you could make a case for Harry Morgan being the potentially the basis of a character worth focusing on. But he had one third of the focus in a show that also spent time with Jamie Farr and William Christopher, two characters that had little enough chemistry to get them through a serious episodes of the original show in its heyday.
Jamie Farr would get fired from Battle of the Network Stars, for God's sake. I mean, how do you give him a third of a show?
Right. That's right. And so that would be my number two after MASH. And of course, we don't have enough time. We should go through some of our honorable mentions here because there are quite a few. And in fact, this leads to one of our other honorable mentions, McLean Stevenson, who bailed from MASH after two or three seasons, earning enough ire from the writers to have him killed off by a MiG over the Sea of Japan.
Whoa, spoiler alert, Mitch Berg. Come on.
If you weren't there, I'm sorry.
45-year-old spoiler alert.
That's right. Leading us to, what was the show?
Hello, Larry.
A spinoff of...
Hello, Larry.
We'll come back
to
that.
Hello, Larry.
Northern Alliance, AM 1280, The Patriot. Oh, there's more to go. Go, no. We'll be right back.
If you want to see the most amazing selection of fine watches in the Midwest, you have to visit the beautiful showroom at Wixon Jewelers Bloomington. When you see their collection of the world's most exclusive watch brands, you'll understand why they're one of the leading watch retailers in the country. Most stores are lucky enough to carry just one of these brands, but Wixon Jewelers carries all of the best watch brands under one roof. The expert staff at Wixon's will provide you with expertise and service you can't find anywhere else. Wixon Jewelers, just off 35W in Bloomington.
Actual patient testimonials results may vary.
The varicose veins and spider veins are hard to look at.
I wanted to hide my legs because they were all blue and spidery.
They feel like you're dragging bricks around.
At Vein Clinics of America, we want you to know you don't have to live with varicose and spider veins anymore.
It actually took my daughter pushing me to come into Vein Clinics of America, and I am so glad I came in.
If varicose and spider veins are forcing you to hide your legs, if you're tired of the pain and discomfort, we can help. For more than 35 years, Vein Clinics of America has been the leading expert in the minimally invasive treatment of vein disease, and most treatments are covered by your insurance.
I love Vein Clinics of America. It kind of has like a very big family feel to it. It was absolutely the best I could have ever experienced.
My legs looked beautiful, they felt beautiful, and I felt good inside.
Call for your personalized consultation. 800-940-5500. 800-940-5500. That's 800-940-5500.
My name is Tiffany Hall, and my son, Truett, attends Heritage Christian Academy. Truett is in kindergarten, and I got an email one day from his teacher saying that she was really proud of him that day because he had found a quarter, actually, at school, and she could see that he had really debated turning it in or keeping it, and that he had turned it into her, and she was just so proud of him and encouraged him in that being honest was the way to be. And I thought it was so sweet for her to message me that and tell me about the day. So we've had a few teachers there, and they've all been so wonderful. They have constant interaction with us, for sure, and they're always willing to be there for questions or help us with anything that we need help with as well. We have absolutely loved our time at Heritage Christian Academy, and we have been so blessed.
Heritage Christian Academy of Maple Grove serves students from 3 years old to 12th grade. For more information about joining the Heritage Christian Academy family or to schedule a tour, visit heritageweb.org. That's heritageweb.org.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Hey, don't forget, second annual Christmas mortgage miracle. Get your rent or mortgage paid for the whole next year. Time's a-wasting down to the last week to sign up for this Christmas Mortgage Miracle. Just go to am1280thepatriot.com. Deadline is Friday. By the way, it's brought to you by Tom Matiny of the New American Funding. It's so much fun last year. We're going to do it again. Get in on it. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Anybody? Anybody? Recognize the song? Oh, I am cooler than everyone. Cool. Guadalcanal Diary, Litany, anybody? Nobody?
Okay. Nobody? Did not get that one, no.
Oh, well, it had to happen. Anyway, no time for that. We're all down to everyone's number ones right now, yep, in more ways than one. Well, I mean, never mind. I don't need to explain it, do I? Okay, no. There's no glossing it over here. That brings us back to King Banyan. King Banyan, right. We have a bit of a theme that seems to have erupted.
Yes,
here.
It has, but this also needs a little additional setup. So the Carol Burnett Show in the 1970s was a major hit.
Brilliant.
One of those brilliant shows that was sort of a genre called sketch comedies. And if you're a child of the 60s or 70s, sketch comedies was what you looked forward to. And the Carol Burnett Show, my grandparents who had just moved into our house would have it on all the time. I would go join them. It was great. One of the skits they would always do is something called The Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it included Carol Burnett Harvey Korman as her husband, Tim Conway, and Vicki Lawrence.
Right.
Vicki Lawrence, of course, is the other singer, because they would do music, and Carol Burnett could sing. I didn't think she was a great singer, but she was fine.
Yeah.
But Vicki Lawrence has this beautiful voice, and they would use her to do serious music in between comedy sketches.
Right.
But one of the comedy sketches they would do is they'd have her dress up in a fat suit with this wig and play Thelma Harper, the daughter of Eunice.
Right.
When the show ends, they decide 4 years after the show ends.
Right.
4 years after the show ends, they decide to make a show called Mama's Family. And this is the brainchild, in fact, of Harvey Korman.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
This is the brainchild of Harvey Korman. And so they make this song. And here's the first thing that's weird. Vicki Lawrence would sing this song during the Carol Burnett Show. They decide for the show they don't want her singing. So you hear, this is just an instrumental. Best part of the song, she wrote the lyrics and they buried them.
Wow.
Okay, so that's one thing about this. The second thing that happens here, so the show comes on, and as you might guess, like all our shows, this thing dies within a year or two. It gets bought into syndication. Who buys it? Lorimar. Lorimar is the famous production for Dallas, Knott's Landing. They do all those things. The only comedy show they ever had that made any money was Eight Is Enough back in the 70s.
Mm, okay.
Is Enough is the only thing Lorimar ever made in comedy that did anything. They squeezed out four more seasons of this thing in the late 60s. By this time, Harvey Korman had walked away from it like a car that had broken down. He's like, I'm done. I'm out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Carol Burnett never makes another appearance, even though she did on the one that had been on TV before. This whole thing just goes into a car crash, because TV at that time had all these independent stations, because this is a precursor to having, the national cable networks. And it's kind of a precursor to, HBO exists, but Cinemax still isn't really a thing yet.
Right.
Or any of the other, or Showtime. So these were selling these shows. And so these shows lived on for 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons. So the thing to take away from this in terms of the worst sitcoms of the 80s is nobody would let them die because they needed content so badly. Even Mama's Family got 6 seasons.
That's where I saw it. Probably in the late 90s, I saw an episode in syndication
somewhere. It comes up with my number one as well.
How does this get 6 seasons? It's okay, Carol Burnett's gone. Harvey Korman's gone.
It's a one-note joke.
It's one joke, and the only other actor that hangs around from the original show that stays with it to the end is Ken Berry.
Oh, wow.
Ken Berry, of course, the captain from
F Troop.
This TV show that can never be shown on television now because the woke police will get you.
And maybe RFD. Speaking of
spin-offs.
Ken Berry, the star of spin-offs that always fly off in the middle of nowhere. By the way, Ken Berry of F Troop, whose two co-stars, Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker, pronounced very carefully.
Forrest Tucker.
One of my favorite high school stories I can never repeat on the radio involves being given an impromptu speech about Forrest Tucker.
I think I know where that went.
And I'm not going to go any further into it. They went on to do a Saturday morning television show not long after F Troop, named, trivia question, anybody? Ghostbusters.
Really?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
There's
some love Larry Storch.
That's right. No,
he's a great actor.
And Forrest Tucker, brilliant character actor in his day.
Yeah.
He had his moments. At any rate, so, yes, that was... I'd forgotten all about Ken Berry being involved in that, because that's where his career went to die. Speaking
yes,
of careers that wanted to die, that'll bring us to not Brad Carlson, but the show he's talking
about. I say, where are you going with that segue, Okay.
Don't read anything into it, Brad.
Well, my number one sitcom, well, first of all, when you think of spinoffs, you remember the ones that are just enormous successes. Like All in the Family had, what, two or three spinoffs? Maude, The Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. And then you have spinoffs like Joni Loves Chachi, not so good.
Much.
Yeah, right. Yep. Mama's Family, Take a Leaf, spinoff The Carol Burnett Show.
The Farm spinoff from The Office. Okay, never actually
Hello
launched.
Larry.
Okay.
But
yeah,
Hello Larry, another
Hello
one.
Larry.
So when you think
Aftermath.
Of Cheers, Cheers, an iconic TV show from the early 80s to 1993 when it ended.
Oh.
Spinoff Frasier, phenomenal success
great,
as well.
Great huge show. Success, yep.
On the other end of the spectrum, you have a show called The Tortellis.
Oh, no. It's all coming back to me now.
So this is my number one, yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is Billy Joel's... what was
that one Billy Joel song?
Right.
From that one album.
From that one album, right. Yeah. Exactly, man.
For the longest time. It kind of sounds like that.
Yes,
okay.
That's it.
So the Tortellis, of course, features Carla Tortelli's ex-husband, Nick, because Carla, of course, was the Spitfire waitress on Cheers. Her ex-husband, Nick, occasionally showed up, and he remarried the tall, blonde wife, Loretta, who in real life, Gene Kasem married to Casey Kasem.
That's right.
And, of course, Nick and Carla had four kids together. And how the show got started is about the fifth or sixth appearance that the Tortellis make on Cheers. You know, Loretta got caught Nick cheating, and it was a great one-liner. Nick comes into the bar, tries to get Loretta back. He says, "Loretta, I've decided to forgive you for bursting in on me and Miss Ramirez in the shower." You know, and she, of course, he has his control over her. But then finally, Carla encourages her to break free, get away from him as fast as you can. And she reveals that she used to be a singer. And her famous line is, "In fact, before I met Nick, I was on my way to becoming a taller, blonder, less Mormon Marie Osmond." Was her great one-liner. So goes off to Las Vegas, and Carla convinces Nick, "We're not going to happen. Go back and get Loretta." He says, "Okay, I'll go back and get her." And then that's how the series of Tortelli starts. Literally the next show after that is the debut of the Tortellis, where Nick is on a bus to Las Vegas dreaming that he's going to be sent to hell because he was such this awful person. He wakes up, he has this new awakening, he's going to go to Las Vegas to get Loretta, and they move in with Loretta's divorced sister, the sister's son, and Nick and Carla's son, who's married to a gal, and they're now pregnant. So six of these people under one roof in a little house in Las Vegas. Complete disaster. The series started in 1987, and it went till 1987. So 13 episodes. Dan Hedaya, great character actor. He's been in many different movies TV shows. Of course, Gene Kasem, widow of the late Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Never understood that match. He was like 6'2" and blonde, and Casey was this real short guy. Great voice.
Yeah.
A little dog named Snuggles.
You know, that sort of thing. So
keep reaching for the stars.
So the Tortellis, number one on my list of worst 1980s sitcoms. Nick Tortelli, the loutish ex-husband of Cheers waitress Carla Tortelli, moves to Las Vegas to try and reconcile with his bimbo second wife, Loretta, who now lives with her more sensible divorced sister, Charlotte, and nephew, Mark. Comedy gold. How it didn't work, I have no idea.
Oh, I'd forgotten that this was like way before the end of Cheers, 6 years before the end of Cheers.
Yeah, and I mean, James Burroughs, Glenn Charles, and Les Charles, the creators of Cheers, and of course, James Burroughs, creator of Frasier, Will and Grace, all these iconic hits. This one, not so much.
So we're seeing here a lot of promise squandered here. We've got Norman Lear. We've got spinoffs from MASH.
We've got Aaron Spelling.
Yeah. We got Manimal.
Lucille Ball.
Well, it gets worse. We've got a couple more. Ed and I, excuse me, have our number one score. Let's take a break
and come right back to
that. Oh, me neither. On the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. The worst is yet to come. Absolutely. By the way, you can join us on Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's NARN Show. That's us. We'll be right back.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hi, this is Sebastian Gorka. Over the last few months, my fellow Salem talk show hosts and I have been speaking across the country on the War for America's Soul Tour. Thousands of people have attended these sold-out events in cities across the United States. We talked candidly about the attacks against our Constitution, the push for radical socialism, open borders, and other threats to our republic. Not everyone could get a ticket, so we filmed the events in Sacramento, California, and Tampa, Florida. These were incredible nights with a few surprises. You can now watch the events on demand or even buy the DVD. It's a front row seat to watch me, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, and even Michelle Malkin. We discuss the critical issues that are at stake ahead of our next presidential election, and we give you the truth. To watch it now, go to watchsalemmedia.com. You will be glad you did. That's watchsalemmedia.com.
Like the rest of us, you're probably tired of all those annoying sales calls to your home telephone number. Now, there's a solution. OurOldNumber.com will block those pesky robocalls from getting through, and most live sales calls will hang up. So how does it work? Callers to your home telephone number will hear a personalized greeting from you. The caller selects the family member they wish to reach, and the call is immediately forwarded onto the family member's cell phone. There's no equipment to buy, there's nothing to install, no long-term contracts. It's still your phone number and remains in directory assistance. The service is only $9.99 per month, and you can eliminate your landline connection and save money. Now, calls to your home phone number can reach any member of the family wherever they are and get rid of those annoying sales calls. OurOldNumber.com. It's just $9.99 per month. Go to OurOldNumber.com to learn how you can get started blocking sales calls today. That's OurOldNumber.com. OurOldNumber.com. You'll be glad you did.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Nothing is real. We're down to the worst of the sitcoms, and you know just how I feel. I'm nauseous. I'm ready to outline a dream. Out of the shadows comes the nightmare of the craziness of two of the worst sitcoms ever written and produced. Nothing gonna save you from these sitcoms. Just slip into the darkness and rejoice in the fact that the dark side has passed behind us and sitcoms never got any worse. Or did they? Oh, yeah. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280. We have to do worst movies of the 80s one of these days.
Oh, absolutely.
That might be next. That might be next.
We'll have to make a date for that
one. So many good choices for that. Oh,
I may have foreshadowed one of them right there. at least one of my top three, bottom three, whichever. Well, we got one segment to go and two of the worst. And by the way, I mean, we're certainly plumbing the bottom here. Mama's Family, the Tortellis. I'd even forgotten about the Tortellis. Never saw that one, but I remember the premise. Which brings us to, speaking of thin, threadbare premises, well, that brings us to Ed Morrissey's worst sitcom of the 1980s.
Oh, this was so, so bad, and it lasted for four long seasons. It starts in 1985, and this is the one where you say, forget the Terminator. This is Skynet. This one here, this show is Skynet. Oh, of course, Gina. I'm talking about Small Wonder.
She's a small wonder, lovely and bright and soft curves. She's a small wonder.
A I gotta say, it doesn't ring a bell.
Oh my.
All right, every Saturday morning.
This was a primetime show when it was running.
Oh yeah, like they all were.
Ted Lawson creates a robot, Vicky, which is apparently some sort of acronym.
Voice Input Child Identikit.
There you go. Played by Tiffany Brissett, the family, Ted, Joan, and Jamie, keep Vicky's identity secret and pretend that she is their daughter.
She seemed perfectly normal. I am going out to play.
It was basically this little girl was doing a worse job of voicing than the War Games computer, the Whopper computer. Shall we play a game?
I am going out to play.
Yeah. I am totally normal.
Oh no!
And the whole thing is set around this nosy neighbor played by the fabulous Edie McClurg, by the way. I love Edie McClurg.
Oh, no,
she's great.
No, she's amazing. Yeah, great character. Yeah,
they're very nosy. They're trying to snoop in on the whole concept for four seasons. While this child, by the way, is not growing. Ooh. I mean, which should be a little weird, right? Yeah. Just a little bit strange. Yeah. Is that they have to keep her identity secret. For what reason, I have no idea. But it was so bad. I mean, I remember watching this when it came on for one or two episodes. It's one of those ones that you watch and say, well, okay, so the pilot was really bad. But, you know, pilots sometimes, the pilot for Cheers wasn't great. If you go back and watch the pilot for Cheers, it wasn't very good. You have to set up characters. You have to establish things. Maybe it'll improve.
The first whole season of The Office was a stiff for me. And it didn't get, and it, one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
Yes.
So it happens.
It happens. You have to let things develop.
Right.
This they should have really killed in development. It was, if this is our future, if this is the future of artificial intelligence, then I am going to go buy a cabin in Montana. And you'll never see me again for the rest of your lives. But I mean, was so bad.
At least it only lasted one season.
So does. No, four long seasons.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Because it was in syndication. It was what King was just talking about.
It went to syndication. Get this. The same producers produced a second show with an adult robot called My Living Doll.
I remember My Living Doll.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same premise for the show. It's an adult robot.
And for some reason, people found that one creepier than this one. I'm not sure why.
Can't imagine why.
I'm not sure why, actually. But yeah, they thought that this...
I've never saw either show, but I remember the critical reception of My Living Doll being something like the pre-invasion bombardment of Normandy. That's all I remember about it. I never did actually see it, but I do remember the hatred.
Julie Newmar, and it was Bob Cummings. Bob Cummings was the star of this thing. This is 1964. I mean, it was 20 years earlier. And
you would think Julie Newmar. You know, that's a mess. But well, not so much.
We've already figured out how you choose series to watch.
Right, exactly. Yes.
I got you figured out.
Uh-huh. That's my number one worst sitcom of the
1980s. You can give me my 1980s movies right now,
Wonder.
King Banyan. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, that's wretched.
Wait a minute. I got to say this. I got to do that better. I didn't do that. But that is my number one sitcom of the 1980s. Small Wonder.
Oh,
wow. Well played.
We've had a number of themes within themes here, and mine is, I'll just run through my theme. Of course, Joni Loves Chachi, my number three, a spinoff from a show that had long since seen better days and had swerved off into self-parody. So, Happy Days, the last, I don't know, 12 seasons of Happy Days.
And Ted McGinley, by the way, by that time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, you're clued.
And Pat Morita.
That you're over, yeah.
That's
no, Pat
right.
Morita was,
he was, yeah.
All right.
His career is still, it was heading upwards. And the Aftermath, I mean, a spinoff of the worst of the least interesting parts of a great sitcom.
Mm.
Not sitcom, actually dramedy. But here we find a sitcom that was a spinoff of a show that was the dregs of American culture even at its peak. And it, by the way, it was a show that dominated the TV ratings when I was in, I don't know, late junior high school. And carried on. Actually, was on the air for like 7 or 9 seasons. I forget.
Yeah, 7 or 8 seasons.
A long time. And it was critically savaged. I mean, the bombing of Dresden was light compared to the critical reception this show got throughout its entire run. And so what could possibly go? And by the way, I'm not going to tip off the show that it spun off from just yet, but if you're going to take a show that was universally hailed as one of the most noxious examples of American entertainment through the late 1970s into the mid-1980s, take the most inane, awful part of that show and build an entire series around it, you got... No, not the sound you get after eating a gas station burrito. Although the entire show was reminiscent. Not ringing a bell yet, guys?
Not so much. No.
The Ropers.
Yeah.
A spinoff from Three's Company.
Stanley.
A show entirely built around. First of all, it's a spinoff of a terrible show, Three's Company, right? John Ritter.
Blasphemy, Mitch Berg.
That's right. A show where John Ritter, in 40 years ago now, 40 plus years ago, has to play a guy who's trying to move into a house and be a roommate with a couple of women by pretending that he's gay. This is something that would not play on television today, and for that I think we can thank woke culture, if nothing else.
Well, I got to remember, though, that it was actually edgy for its time, because you never even mentioned the word
this
gay
is true
on television.
It was a lot of double entendres where Mr. Roper would look at the camera with that smirk. You know?
Yeah, that's right. and Mr. Roper, of course, played by Norman Fell, a character actor of some renown, and his wife, Audra Lindley, his rather... I don't know, affection-starved wife who and that was the entire joke.
Are we sure Mr. Roper wasn't gay? Your wife is throwing herself at you, man.
Yes, this was like the entire premise of Married with Children. Only not funny.
That's
not
an excellent point. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so you have a terrible spinoff of a terrible sitcom, which itself has been a cultural punchline. By the way, Norman Fell left the show, the peak of his career, and turned it over to Don Knotts. This is, of course, where Don Knotts' career went to die. And it's, by the way, amazing how many of the stars of these sitcoms expired not long after dreadful shows left the air.
But you've got to be careful, because there's one star of the Ropers that ends up actually making it.
Uh-oh.
Jeffrey Tambor.
That's right. You beat me to it. That's right. Jeffrey Tambor goes on to much bigger and better things.
Yes.
Of course, he was the odd little sidekick and side character.
Yeah, he's
so
the
many
neighbor.
Shows.
Don't you think he's trying to find all the copies of the Ropers and buy them up and bury them?
You'd have to hope.
Send them to the Neptune Society or something, you know?
That's right. Well, I think we have our mission clear for the next time we do this broadcast here, folks. Worst movies of the 80s. Oh, there's so many possibilities.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you've got suggestions of what you want us to beat up, leave it on Twitter at hashtag Narnsha. Let's do this again, guys. Soon.
Absolutely. Too much fun.
Ed Morrissey, King Banyan from the King Banyan Radio Show, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Brad Carlson coming up tomorrow with his real show from 1 to 3 on AM 12 of the Patriot. I'll see you all next week. God bless you all. God bless America.
Quit smoking, chew, and vaping with a special half-price offer from AM 1280 The Patriot and breathe freedom from nicotine. Get one program for $250. That's half price for the faster, easier, and more effective way to quit smoking. There's a limited number of these half-off deals available. It's just $250 for one person, and you could save thousands this year. Call The Patriot today at 651-405-8800. That's 651-405-8800.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
There are many perks to being a member of the Freedom Fan Club. Join this month and you could win a copy of In the Cauldron, Terror, Tension, and the American Ambassador's Struggle to Avoid Pearl Harbor by Lou Paper. This is not just another book about Pearl Harbor. It's the remarkable story of Joseph Grew, America's ambassador to Japan.
Sign up today by visiting am1280thepatriot.com. Just click on Fan Club.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people. AM 1280, the